Well, good morning. It is good seeing everybody this morning. My name's Rick Morgan. I am the leader of worship here at Fairlawn Baptist Church. I am stepping in for our pastor this morning. This morning. Yeah. If he doesn't shake your hand, you probably don't want him to shake your hand. He just all of a sudden got stricken with something. So he's going to, if he... He doesn't want to hi-hat you. He just doesn't want to give the gift that keeps on giving. All right. Last week, I started with the hacking cough. I have continued with the hacking cough through this week. So singing-wise, I think we'll get through it. But if not, it's up to y'all to praise Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. So I like that back here. They got my back. So anyway, if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for being with us today. You will find a visitor's card in the pew in front of you. This is not only a visitor's card, it's also a way for everybody else to communicate with us if you've got a prayer request or anything like that. So please make sure you take one of these. If you are a visitor, make sure you give it to Michelle out at the Welcome Center. She's got a gift out there for you if you give her one of these. And she will do that with a smile. Did you hear that, Michelle? Okay. Anyway, hey, this Thursday night, what does it say about people that walk in darkness? Well, we're going to take care of that Thursday night. You all can see that there are quite a few lights out in here, right? So the main thing that we need help with, our buddy Matt, and there's a couple other people that like to climb up that scaffolding. I am not one of them. However, what I can do is I can come in here because of where the scaffolding has to go in the pews. We have to undo some of the pews and lift them out of the way so that the scaffolding can move in between the pews. So if you're not a climber, but you're a we'll call you a grunner, all right, we can use your help Thursday evening. That's going to be at 5 o'clock, and we're going to try to get as many of these things replaced as we can, all right, so that you can actually see, all right? Other things that are going on, take a look at your bulletin. The Sportsman's Expo is in there. Wednesday night, FCA, our Fairlawn Christian Academy, is going to be presenting their Christmas program. I'm telling you, this place will be packed, okay? You will need to find a place to park. But it is a great opportunity for us to love on the families that are here with our Fairlawn Christian Academy. Some of those folks attend church here. Some of those folks attend church somewhere else. Some of those folks attend church nowhere. But we have their kids, and it is a great chance for us to come in and love on them. Now, notice I said love on them. I didn't say love on each other. You get that? This is a great opportunity for us to get to reach out and talk with some of those families and engage with them. So would love to see you all come out Wednesday night at 6:30. Our puppets are going to be presenting a drama the 15th. The choir is going to be doing a Christmas homecoming the 22nd. If you play an instrument, if you've got a Christmas skit, a Christmas poem, something that you would like to share with the church, that would be a time. Now, you can also sing if you would like, duet, whatever, okay? But that's that evening. The choir is preparing 4 or 5 songs for that evening, but we've got a lot that we also want to put in there as well. So if you want to be involved in that, make sure you come check with me, and we'll have a practice the evening before we do that so that you know what's going on. In the center section of the bulletin right here, you're going to see a bunch of dinners and different things going on. All right? I do have a couple corrections on that, so if you want to make sure you make note of that. Praise Station will not be meeting on the 6th. They're actually going to do theirs this evening. They're going to be showing the Polar Express this evening and having pizza. So when you bring your kids in this evening, know that they're going to be well fed, and they're going to have a nice movie this evening for them to sit and watch while you guys are in D groups. So make sure you do that. The Sportsman's Christmas dinner, instead of 4 o'clock, you'll see it down about a little bit more than halfway. It's at 6:30. And then Randy Jarvis's class party will start at 6 instead of 1 p.m., all right? So if you all can make those corrections for us, we would greatly appreciate that. All right? So lots to do. Don't forget to get your brown bags in and all that. But it's been a good week so far. Amen? Here to praise and worship Jesus. If you would, stand with me. We're going to do our reading. Sure we are. Where did we go? Ah, there it is. Let me get a cough out, okay? All right. So, does the Lord's Supper add anything to Christ's atoning work? And if you would read with me. No, Christ died once for all. The Lord's Supper is a covenant meal celebrating Christ's atoning work, as it is also a means of strengthening our faith as we look to Him and a foretaste of the future feast. But those who take part with unrepentant hearts eat and drink judgment of themselves. And we find that in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for today. And Father, we thank You for the time that we can come and give back to You this morning. Father, through our praise and worship, through song, Father, help us as we enter that time. And Father, help us to just sing and lift Your name on high this morning as we begin to take a look at the Christmas season. And Father, the gift that was given to us through Your Son who came to earth and Father gave up perfection to come down here and live among us. And Father, live that life and give the sacrifice for us so that one day we would be able to see You face to face as long as we claim Your Son as Lord and Savior of our lives. Father, we pray that if there's someone here that has never received that gift, that Father, even now, Your Spirit is working on them, and Father, that they would realize the need for You in their lives. Father, we pray for our pastor this morning. We know he's a bit under the weather. So, Father, we just pray that Your Spirit would strengthen him, get him through the service today, and Father, that You would heal him through that. But, Father, most of all, we pray that he would be open to Your Spirit today, and Father, that You would use him in a mighty way to speak Your word to us today. And Father, we pray that if Your Spirit is working in and through us, and Father, that there needs to be a response, whatever that is, Father, that we would be faithful to that as well. Father, just continue to be with us as we continue to go through our service this morning. And Father, most of all, we just want to be here to give back to You today. We ask all these things in Your name. Amen. Well, if you would, take a moment and welcome each other this morning. All right, well, have a seat for 1 minute. If you see the man standing to my left, your right, most of y'all recognize that that's my dad. And my dad told me that he had an announcement. I told him to go talk to Jason. He went to talk to Jason, and then I had to take over announcements. If I don't give him his time, you know how long I'm going to have to pay for that.
You're right.
So, Dad, the only comment I have is you're only up here for a couple minutes. Remember, I have the microphone last.
You're right. When you came in this morning, something was missing in our parking lot. That was a two old menu trailer. I want you to know that 8,145 shoeboxes departed there. Thank you all. God bless you. Of that 8,000, 304 of them were donated through Fairlawn Baptist Church. I praise the Lord for that. Just so happened this morning, I happened to get a Facebook message. Box. She Facebooked him, got a hit. He got it, didn't know who it was, so 2 years later she tried again. They opened up a friendship.
All right, well, let's continue on with worship. All right, let's stand and sing.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you. from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he died, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one, bringing. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day.
All God's people said, amen. If our deacon of the week would go ahead and come on up, it's Randy Jarvis this week. You see the number on the screen. You can give him a call if you need anything. Here he comes. Ushers, if you'd go ahead and come on forward to take up our morning offering.
I'm Randy Jarvis. As you can see the number up there. Excuse me. If you need anything this week, please feel free to call. We're here to serve and would like to take care of your needs. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, and we just thank you for your blessings that you've given us this week. And Lord, just thank you for this week of Thanksgiving that we was able to share with family and friends and enjoy some good family time. Lord, just be with these shoeboxes as they go around the world. They plant seeds that the lost will come to know you as your Lord and Savior. Lord, just be with them as they go out. And we ask you to be with this offering, Lord. Just be with it as it goes out to help your kingdom grow and just touch the lost and just be with us, Lord. Just we ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Our approach to calling is new wineskin, limitless, infinite, endless, never-ending, everlasting. The burden? To reach the 2.8 billion people with no access to the gospel in Asia, Africa, Europe, the Americas, the Middle East. The terrain? Dangerous, uncomfortable, exhausting. Our legacy? 170 years of lawyers, doctors, teachers, watchmakers, baristas, martyrs, church planners, prayer warriors, cave dwellers. Our vision? To leave and leverage. Let the dead bury the dead. Leverage your skills to be a doctor, CrossFitter, photographer, chef, storyteller, evangelist, teacher, engineer, entrepreneur, student, retired nurse, seminarian. The reward? Immeasurable, bottomless, unceasing. The souls of men and women and children experiencing the peace of God and reconciling power of Jesus Christ. The possibilities with us all together, without end, constraint, or boundaries. Limitless.
One of the greatest parts of being a Southern Baptist is a cooperative program. You saw that video there about the IMB, our International Mission Board, who sends missionaries all over the world. That's part of what this Lottie Moon offering this time of the year that we take up goes to that. 100% of it goes to that. So please pray about how you can support and give to that that offering this month. It's a great opportunity for us to further the gospel and to be able to, as a church, this size, to play such a huge role in missions and be able to bless those that are serving on the field. Rick mentioned that that I was hit with a little something here a few minutes ago, but we're going to get through this morning regardless. But I was in Fairlawn 101 this morning and felt really good. And then all of a sudden I started sweating for no reason and then had a little stomach issue. So we're soldiering through. We're not going to be distracted. We're going to talk about that today too. It'll either be the, maybe this will turn out to be the best sermon I've ever done. I don't know. And it might be the shortest sermon I've ever done. But we're going to get through it one way or another. We're going to have joy while we're doing it. You sing a song like that, you watch a video like that, how could you not be joyful about what it is that Christ has done and what he continues to do? Well, we partner with a guy named Jacob Atchley and his family that are in East Asia, and they are in some really dangerous areas of the world preaching the gospel. And, this morning, for me to have to endure a little bit of a stomach flu or whatever it is and preach the gospel, it pales in comparison to what he's going through this morning and where his family is called to serve at. So I appreciate your all's prayers, but please don't let this be a distraction to what it is that God has to say to you today. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get into the message. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the family that you have wrapped around me and my wife. Lord, we truly do feel that Fairlawn is our joy and our crown. It's where you've placed us to do ministry. It's where you've placed us to be encouraged and exhorted and lifted up and edified and built up. And Lord, we pray that we're able to do that same thing for other people. And Lord, just bless this time together, the reading of your word and the understanding of how it applies to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Philippians 1 through 7 reads like this. It says, "Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we joke around sometimes that when you see a therefore in Scripture, you should always ask what it's there for. It's just so that it draws your attention to the fact that it kind of does both things. Sometimes it's a conclusion to a previous section. Sometimes it's a beginning of a new section. Sometimes it's both. In this instance, it is both. But essentially, Paul is saying these things. He's saying, because Jesus has become the desire of your heart, because Jesus is our goal, because we are straining to take hold of who we are in Christ, because we are seeking to follow godly examples, because we are seeking to be godly examples ourselves, because we have the joy set before us, because we are seeking to know Christ more, because we are known by Christ, stand firm in the Lord. He's saying, look, everything we've been talking about builds up to this point. Stand firm in the Lord. And when we do, we find a joy and a peace that are completely unexplainable. They're not something that's easily swayed. We have a joy that even though we may not feel well, we're still joyful. We still love the fact that we're able to be here worshiping together. Sometimes it's been a horrible week. We've gone through tough times. This time of the year is actually one of the highest times of suicide between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Because people are alone. They're hurt. They don't have the family around them that they used to. Or they're missing loved ones. Or it becomes home to roost to them, maybe, that they're alone. And we can have joy in the Lord because we know we're never alone. Christ is always with us. And not only that, but we always have this family of God that's around us that we can go to, that we can look to love and to care for us. It's one of the greatest aspects of being a member of a church. Your church family literally becomes that. It becomes a family. We were not too long ago, we were up at a P. Graham Dunn place in Amish country, and there was a sign that I saw then. And I loved it then. I still love it now. But it says, the thing I love most about my home is the people I get to spend it with or to share it with. And I kept thinking to myself, if you just change home to church, that's exactly how I feel about my church. The thing that makes church so valuable to us as believers is who we get to share it with. The love we can have for one another. And he starts in it's saying, hey, help these two ladies. The two ladies he names that are basically, they're having some kind of an argument. And he's saying, help them agree in the Lord. And he's saying, stand firm. And he's meaning, let nothing distract you. I talked about that in the beginning, but here these two ladies are. They're having some kind of a disagreement. One of the things that always kind of strikes me funny or ironic is how many times you see bands that everybody in the band decides they're going to go out on their own and have a solo career, and then you never hear from them again. Because they were good as a band, but they weren't really very good when they weren't a band. And even great bands, that like the Beatles, they split up and they went all their different directions, but they only had marginal success compared to what they had as a group together. And sometimes we let these distractions, these little petty arguments between each other, destroy things that are unstoppable. If we just stay together, if we just learn to get past those things, to agree in the Lord. You know, it's one of the things that's kind of sometimes a misconception that we get. Sometimes we think God needs our help in his mission. You know, that's what we say. We're helping God in his mission to further the gospel. You know why God gave us a mission? Because we needed a purpose. If we don't have a purpose, we just kind of do really dumb things. We'll do things that don't matter. We'll have arguments that don't matter. But when we have a common purpose, remember a few weeks ago I talked about common enemies. When we talked about how the United States armed forces come together when we have a common enemy. And when we have a common purpose as a church, suddenly these little petty arguments are just that. They're petty. They don't derail the mission of God. We don't allow them to distract us. And the way that this Philippian church had become the joy and crown of Paul was because so often they were able to overcome these little things and keep moving forward, keep advancing the gospel, keep doing the things that God had called them to do. As a church, it'll be important that we let nothing distract us when it comes to the mission that God has laid out before us. We need to make sure that our eyes stay on the prize. Like last week we talked about remembering to run towards Christ, that He is the goal. He's the prize. We run towards meeting Him. I'll tell you a little funny thing about the sermon last week. Some of you, if you were here for it last week, some people really felt like it was a hard sermon. It came right at people, which I'm not really known for not going right at people. But this one was particularly that way. And somebody came up to me afterwards and they said, "How long have you been wanting to say that sermon?" I said, "Well, a little bit. I mean, God's put it on my heart to do it for a little bit." And they said, "Do you realize that's one of those sermons where next week there will be either twice as many people or half as many people?" Yes, I do realize that, but it is what it is. You can't let things distract you. When God puts a mission on our mind, we're supposed to go at that. And we're supposed to go at that very single-minded. In our world today, we celebrate multitasking. Well, I can do a million different things at one time. Yeah, I hate to break your bubble and burst your bubble in this, but you do one thing really, really well. You do two things pretty good. You do three things marginally well. You do five. As you continue to diversify, you get less and less effective. It doesn't matter who you are or how brilliant you think you are. Still, there's always going to be one thing that guides you. One thing. Because you can't go in two different directions at the same time. You can do multiple things on your way to that one thing, but there's still going to be one central goal. And in your mind, in our minds as believers, that one goal needs to be Jesus Christ. It needs to be the gospel. We're going to talk about it tonight, but oftentimes we kind of view the gospel as like the diving board instead of the pool. What I mean by that is we think we get up on the diving board and we bounce, 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 and there's the gospel. And we jump into the pool, which is something beyond the gospel. Something bigger, meatier than the gospel. Something that takes on greater things than the gospel. The gospel is the pool. You can swim in it for the rest of your life and you will never see the end of it. You'll never get all the gospel you need. And sometimes we paint it as the diving board, like you just need a little bit of it. And then once you're in the pool, you don't need the gospel anymore. That's being distracted. That's forgetting that the only way you have a relationship with God that you currently enjoy is because of Christ. Only because of Christ. That's like, I was watching a thing. I told Carmen the other day, I read an article that Usain Bolt has retired. I don't, if you don't know who Usain Bolt is, he's like the fastest man on the planet. He doesn't just win races. He like wins them by like, it's ridiculous. He looks like he's out for an evening jog and he blows past the fastest other people in America. And sometimes, you know, we're running alongside of Jesus and he's like Usain Bolt. He's running this thing and we're running alongside of him and we think somehow we're assisting him. We're not assisting him. And you're not assisting the gospel. You're not surpassing it either. You will never outrun the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know that's the reason why we have half of the internal arguments that we do? Because we become distracted. And suddenly it becomes, well, maybe I don't have to obey the Lord over here. Or maybe I don't really need the gospel in this part of my life. And we become very split in our mindset, very distracted. Even disagreements among ourselves shouldn't be allowed to do that. Don't let the culture draw you away, nor let the world change your God. That's an important part, is not to allow the world to change who your God is. That's why you need the gospel all of the time. You need the gospel. The reason why the Philippian church was the joy and crown of Paul, the reason why you all oftentimes for me feel like my joy and my crown, is because we need the gospel. The gospel is the thing that stays at the center. And as long as the gospel stays at the center, we keep rowing the same direction. When the gospel ceases to be the center, we become very distracted by all kinds of different things. Then each program becomes the center focus. Each ministry becomes the center focus. Each building becomes the center focus. And the whole time, we are now allowing the culture around us, even the culture inside the building, to begin to draw us away from God, away from the gospel. And it starts to change who our God is. You realize that Christian activity can become just as much of an idol as secular activity if it takes the place of God. We don't want to be distracted. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." No matter what we do, if we do it for God, it will never be in vain. Ever. God will do something out of it. It's when we start trying to do things for ourselves that things become vain, that they turn out not to deliver what they said they would. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." Hold fast to the gospel. Hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to those things. We actually talked about this in Fairlawn 101 today. One of the reasons why I enjoy being Southern Baptist, number one, is a cooperative program and things like the IMB and North American Mission Board and the way we fund missionaries. Absolutely love it. Second greatest aspect of being Southern Baptist is we don't have discussions about doing things the Bible doesn't say we can do. We just don't. And if you want to, you can have the conversation, but it won't change the church. And we're not going to change the Bible because of the culture. The culture should be changed by the Bible, not the other way around. So it's important that we hold fast to not only the spoken word, but the letters, which is what we are reading. That's what we're studying, the letters that he's talking about right here. Remember Philippians 1:27, I told you, was like a focal verse of the whole book. It says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." You know, we sometimes marvel at the difference between the way Paul addresses different churches. And if you read through the epistles, you'll see this. I mean, lots of times he's writing with correction, trying to correct wrong behavior. Corinthians maybe was probably one of the more carnal churches that he had to address, and he addresses some very hard subjects in Corinthians. And part of that was because they were allowing all kinds of things to pull them away from each other and pit them against each other. They were no longer striving side by side for the gospel, to further the gospel. We should never do that. We need to make sure we're united and stand firm. So how do we do that? Well, we do that by learning to rejoice in faith. We learn to rejoice in faith. The Too often, we do faith like it's a sentence of some sort. And we're not rejoicing in the opportunity to display faith, to practice faith, to grow in faith. We're more or less like, oh man, I got to get up and go to church this morning. Or I have to do this. It's very drudgery oriented, not rejoicing. It's amazing to me still yet how God will allow some redneck from Parkersburg, West Virginia to stand in a pulpit and proclaim the word of God. I rejoice over the fact that he chose to use me because there's nothing about me that's special. But there's a ton about him that's special. And I get to rejoice in faith for the promises that he gives, for what he says he'll do in my life. Trust me when I say I struggle with things just like you guys do. I fight those battles where sin creeps in trying to distract me from the main things of the gospel or Christ himself, or the tries to draw me out into senseless arguments or internal compromises. But always it comes back to being able to rejoice in faith that Christ has accomplished what I cannot accomplish. We should be so exuberant, so grateful for that fact that it pervades us. And the fact of the matter is if you really read and focus on the gospel and what Christ has done for each individual, you can't believe the gospel without becoming like the gospel. You will begin to be transformed, to be conformed to this new way of thinking. The old things will pass away. The new will come. There'll be parts of your life that you thought, I'll never view that way. Well, that's because you still are conforming your mind. You're not allowing the Word of God to transform your mind. We should begin to look and act more and more and more like the gospel. And as we do, we'll find it easier and easier and easier to rejoice in faith. Paul's formula for joy is apparent in this letter, and he really gives us kind of some case points. One, the cause of Christ is our priority. That cause, of course, includes the fellowship and furtherance and the faith of the gospel. It means we have a common cause. And because we have a common cause, we find joy not only in our own walk with the Christ, but in others' walk with Christ as well. We celebrate the fact that they're successful in those things. The character of Christ as our pattern. This is the character of sacrificially giving oneself up in the interest of others. It's a tough thing to do. It's one of the reasons, I know I mentioned a few weeks ago, but one of the ways I grow in grace, and I feel like I don't know that I would have ever grown in grace in the same way, was by being married. She has grown in grace because she's had to learn to think of my needs above her own. And I've had to grow in grace learning to put her needs in front of mine. And as a congregation, if we're going to grow in Christ, if we're going to really rejoice in our faith, we're going to have to learn to put someone else's interests above our own. I said a few weeks ago that if you wanted to know if you were completely discipled, you made it, you're completely done, just think about the last time you had an argument with someone. Was your upset, was your heart hurt because you didn't get your way or because they didn't get theirs? Because if it was because you didn't get your way, you still have work to do. You still have much to learn. You still have a focus to gain. You still need to learn more about the character of Christ. Christ endured everything, even the cross, because he looked at our needs above his own. The comprehension of Christ as our passion. This means crying out with Paul that I may know him. Remember, we talked about this, how great it is to know the surpassing value of Christ. And once we really get that, it becomes a passion of our heart. the care of Christ as our peace, which the apostle is about to express. We'll talk more about as we go. He makes this statement. He says, be reasonable. The Lord is at hand. He reminds them, the Lord is coming. You need to understand and become more reasonable. Let your reasonableness be known to others. This is translated different ways in other translations. It comes up this way: gentleness, graciousness, consideration, moderation, forbearance. So you put whichever one of those words you want to be in there, but it says, let this be known to everyone. Not some, not your closest friends. Everyone. We're supposed to continue to grow in that. We're to be reasonable and allow it. The Greek word here is basically just means this gracious, being gracious and forbearing. Gentle, gracious, forbearing. And then this last sentence, not speaking evil of anyone. Nor to be quarrelsome, but to be forbearing. Forbearing just means you're exceedingly patient with someone. You're sometimes even patient with them before they know they need it. As parents, we're oftentimes forbearing with our children. Sometimes our kids are forbearing with us. But the ultimate goal is that we would begin to become more and more like this. Titus 3:2 just puts it bluntly and says, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. That is letting our reasonableness be known to everyone. Oh, and these are the ways they would describe us. You know, it used to be that they would ask you, when you went in for a job interview, you know, how would people you've worked with describe you? And can you provide us some references? And most of us are very selective. And we say, yes, I can provide you references. You can talk to my sister. She'll give you a really good reference. Or you can talk to my best friend. He works with me too. And we'll give references that we know for sure are going to speak well of us. But how many of us think that these particular things would be what they would say? That we speak evil of no one. That they've never heard you say an evil thing about someone else. Or that you avoid quarreling. You go out of your way to avoid an argument. To be gentle and show perfect courtesy towards all people. We can all grow in these areas of our lives. We can. We can all grow in discipleship, but we will do that as we make Christ our focus and not our individual things. He also says, trust God and pray in verses 6 and 7. I love the fact that he says he will guard your heart. He's writing this to a group of people that were under Roman occupation. So they would have completely understood this guard reference because they had guards all the time. But you know, he's saying, look, there is no greater guard. We have no guard as competent as the Lord. The reason why I can rejoice in the fact that I still struggle in my life and that God has overcome things that I cannot myself overcome is because I know that the guarding of my heart, the guarding of my soul is reliant on God and not on me. I don't have to protect the salvation that he has given me. He will protect the salvation that he has given me. I can then rejoice in the Lord. That's why he goes through this whole part about don't be anxious about anything. And when you read it, you immediately think of these verses. Matthew 6:25-34, which is Paul echoing in Philippians what Jesus says here in Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. God will provide us. God will give us what we need if our sole focus is him, his kingdom, his gospel, what he has done for us. If we continue to make that the primary goal and row towards that, all things will be added unto us. We can then be thankful. Too often, we are a lot of things, but thankful is probably not the word that would oftentimes get thrown up there. We have Thanksgiving, which is wonderful. It is. It's a wonderful holiday where we can be reminded that we need to be thankful for all that God has given us. But as believers in Christ, every day should be a reminder that we need to be thankful for all that God has given us. He has blessed us so richly. We look around and we see that. We come to church and we celebrate it. We read it in our word, in the word of God. But still yet, we need to remember to be thankful. That's why he says, rejoice. I'll say again, rejoice. We need to learn to rejoice in the Lord. I will say that all of this is contingent on knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot find this joy apart from Jesus Christ. I know I chased it for most of my life. I looked for different things to be the answer to my problem. Sometimes they were temporary answers. Sometimes they worked for a little bit. But that's all they ever did, was work for a little bit. And then one day you wake up and you realize that life was just as empty as it was before you got this thing, or before you met that person, or before you took this job, or whatever it is that we sometimes hang our hopes on. Hang your hopes on Jesus Christ. And you will find that he does not disappoint us. We don't have to be anxious about tomorrow, because he has already promised us a victory. We have overcome. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. So do you know Christ that way? Do you know the Lord Jesus in that way? Is he that person in your life? Is he that joy and crown? I can't tell you how often it is that when I read over the Word of God, I'm reminded of the people of God. It's a wonderful privilege to be a part of a church that mirrors the person of Christ. But one of those things is understanding that no church is perfect at mirroring Christ. We need to learn to love and forgive each other, to be able to look past today's problem to tomorrow's goal. To be able to look and see what it is that Christ wants us to do as a church, or our mission and our purpose as believers in serving out before Christ. So as we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to pray about where you're at in your walk, whether or not you've begun this walk, whether you're someone who's maybe come to church plenty of times, you've heard the gospel plenty of times, but never really responded to it. Maybe today is that day where you finally surrender to the Lordship of Christ in your life. Maybe it's something where you know that there has been distractions, disagreements maybe, or other distractions in your life that have drawn you away from God, where the gospel is not the central thing in your life, and you want to get that cleared up with God as well. You can use this time of invitation to repent of those things. Ask God to restore you. He tells us in 1 John 1:9, confess your sins, and I am righteous and just to forgive those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what he says. We can cling to those promises. We can lean on those promises of God, remembering that we are not the perfecter of our faith. He is the perfecter of our faith. It's not a matter of trying harder. It's a matter of trusting harder. So as we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to think through where you're at in your life and where you're at in your trust. Are you rejoicing in the Lord, or are you rejoicing in things other than Him? Let's stand and we'll pray and go to our time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be together. Lord, I thank you for your word, for the promises of your word. Lord, I thank you that you tell us that no one can pluck you from your hand. And your Father in heaven is stronger than you, and no one can pluck you from his hand. Lord, the safety and security we feel in that should make us sing your praises forever. Help us, Lord, to clear the distractions in our minds and in our lives that pull us constantly away from you. Help us, Lord, to combat the influence of the culture that constantly tries to change who you are and what you say. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that today your Spirit would be working on their heart to soften them to the point of surrender. Lord, that they would understand the freedom they can have in you. They don't have to be bound to the sins of this world or the struggles they currently have. You can set them free. And I pray, Lord, they seek that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar